James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We've been going through a series on faith. And the whole letter of James to all Christians is basically that we should have a foolproof faith. Faith that we know is totally genuine. There's a lot of people out there that say they have faith in God, but it isn't a true faith. And we've talked about testing faith and grounded faith and faith that's impartial and faith that is living faith, as we talked about last week. But tonight we're going to look at the first 12 verses of James chapter 3, and we're going to talk about talking faith. We can all complete this, but this is not true. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words can never hurt you. They may not physically hurt you, but they can emotionally destroy you. They can discourage you. They can cause you to do actions against yourself. They can even lead to death, as we've been seeing tragedy over people being bullied and then taking their own life because they don't think anyone loves them. Folks, God loves you. He loves everyone. And so we need to understand that our words have weight. And even though we don't think they do, they do. You know, the tongue is of a great concern to God. It is by far the best device to measure the level of our faith. You know, one said that the tongue is the bucket that brings up the water that's in the well of the heart. And we need to kind of think, it says, Christ himself said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So our words reveal what we really feel. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 through 37, Christ talks that our words are going to be judged. He says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That should cause us to watch what we say. To understand that God has an infinite tape recorder. He has an infinite MP3 device. He can record everything that is being said and play it back. You know, sometimes we take whole movies and we watch those whole movies. Do I really look like that? You go, ugh. But in this case, did I really say those things? But he says here that we'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. He says, for thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, our words reveal how we are. They reveal who we are. It is the thermometer of our faith. If you hear someone that all they say is biting, negative, cold, indifferent, condemning thing, and then they say they're a Christian, there's no temperature there. There's no love there. We know that this morning in our service that we need to love God with all that we are, and that we need to love our neighbor as we would want to be loved. And folks, that goes right down to our words. That goes right down to our words. So let's look at the nature of the tongue. And the nature of the tongue is found in these first 12 verses of chapter 3. The first thing is that the tongue is defining. It does is a great thermometer of our faith. In verses 1 and 2 it says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Our words have weight, and people who use words like teachers and preachers have a responsibility, and they have a greater responsibility, because if they say the wrong thing, they will receive the what? The greater commendation. So it says, for in many things we offend. Some other translations say stumble in all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a what? Perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. There are three words in here that we need to understand about controlling the tongue. The first one is to offend. It means to trip or to fall. We talk about, you know, the Bible talks about stumbling blocks. Our words can be stumbling blocks that we can fall over and that other people can fall over, and that causes an offense. And so he says, and everybody, you know, and everybody does it. No one in here is immune from doing this. No one in here has not done it in the past. We've all done it, but we need to try to do it what? Less. So it says, for in many things we offend all. We trip or we fall. But then he gives this. He says, if any man offend not in word, it shows that he is perfect, that he is mature and complete. And folks, you know, sometimes we could say childish things, but we need to say adult spiritual things. We need to show that we have a faith that is grounded in Christ and secure in what we believe, and that it's complete. And it says, able to bridle the whole body. You know, this term of bridle refers to horsemanship. You know, I love watching steeplechase. You know, where a horse can, and they can take them over these various barriers, make them jump and stuff like that. And how do they control it? How do they control the horse? They control it with the bridle, which got the bit in it. And wherever that horseman takes the bit, that turns the what? The head. And wherever the head goes, that's where the horse goes. But then also the horseman encourages with what? Words. Words of encouragement. Words to get over the barrier. Words to get through the task. And so we've already seen this. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, wherefore my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear and what? Slow to speak and slow to wrath. So the tongue is defining. It sets the thermometer for our faith, and it shows other people. And Paul keeps on writing. Paul writes about this too. He writes about it in Ephesians. He writes about it in Galatians. He writes about it in every letter, even Corinthians. Because he's constantly dealing in 2 Corinthians about what people are saying about him. And it's all untrue. So the tongue defines who you are. Secondly, the tongue is directing. In verses 3 through 5, it says, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, they are driven to fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, a little wheel on the back of the ship, or now the modern ships just have a knob.
Rudder.
For the rudder. Modern airplanes now just have a knob. You don't have to do all this. Nope. It's very easy to move it. It says, with a very small helm, whethersoever the what? The governor or the person that's operating it or leading the horse, and this also, wants to go. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts a great thing. You know, the tongue's a wonderful little muscle. You know, if we didn't have the tongue, we couldn't what? Speak. If we didn't have our tongue, we couldn't taste. We couldn't sense hot or cold. The tongue provides a lot of information to us, and it provides a lot of information about us. And so we need to understand that. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. We've been talking about this with the false apostles in Corinth, how they have lifted themselves up. And folks, you know, people who talk a lot about themselves try to make themselves better than what they really are. And we need to kind of watch out for that. It says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, we talk about these great forest fires, even though in California now they even turned off the power. They turned off the power so power lines wouldn't drop and cause a spark to cause forest fires. And it only takes what? It only takes a spark to start a fire. So the tongue is directing, because a horse's bit in the rudder of a ship or the rudder of an airplane controls direction. Which way is your tongue taking you tonight? Is it taking you toward God? It's either taking you toward God or it's taking you away from God. And so we need to understand that our words force our bodies to back up what we say. There was a story of a monk who went to his superior and said, "I've said a slanderous thing about somebody." And so his superior said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a feather and I want you to put it on every doorstep in the town." Because he said, "These words, I'm going to give you an object lesson in words." So the monk went, he got all the feathers and he put them around all the doorsteps in town. And then he comes back to his superior and he says, "I've done that." And then his superior says, "Now I want you to go back and pick them all up." He says, "I can't go do that, because the wind has blown all the feathers away and I can't get them back." And he said, and so the superior said, "And so are your words. You can't take back a slanderous word. And it goes a lot further than you think it does. Impacts a lot more people. And you can't take the words back." So we need to understand that the tongue is directing, and it basically, people believe what we say. In verses 5 and 6, the tongue is destructive. It says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things." It says, "Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." You know, not unless you're dropping some sort of napalm bomb on something. It only takes a match to start a forest fire. You know, we've heard all the Smokey the Bear things. Only you can prevent forest fires, okay? But it's all about safety and keeping that from happening. It says, "And the tongue," and look at now what James writes. You know, you go back through the Old Testament, and you go through the entire Bible, in fact, and you find out what verse is about the tongue. It's about wickedness and disobedience and saying the wrong thing and basically hurting people and cutting people. It says, "And the tongue is a what? Fire." Didn't say it's like one. It says it is one. It is a fire. A what? World of iniquity. Just like all those feathers that went all through the town that you can't catch back. It goes into all the world. And now with all the internet and everything that we have, and so the connectivity that we have, our words go everywhere. You know, our words tonight are going out on the internet, and they will go to everywhere who wants to pick it up anywhere. So we need to be careful and cautious of what we say, but we need to speak the truth. "So is the tongue among our members, that it" what? "It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature." Look at inflammatory words start wars. Inflammatory words start divorce. Inflammatory words can drive your kids out of your house. That's it all starts with words. And it says, "And defileth the whole body and set on fire the course of nature," and is what? "Set on fire of hell." If you're not going towards God, you're going towards Satan. And you're either an instrument of righteousness, as it says in Romans chapter 6, or you're an instrument of unrighteousness. So it is defining, it is directing, it is destructive. and we can talk about what destructive words can do. There's gossip. That's talking about somebody. It may be true, it may not be true. Folks, when you talk about somebody, that's gossip, unless you're talking to that person directly. Unless they gave you specific permission to talk to somebody else about the problem. Don't do it. Don't do it. Slander is making a false accusation or insinuation about somebody. Here's what Proverbs says. Proverbs 26, verse 20 and 22 says this. It says, where no wood is, the fire, there the fire goeth out. What do you need for a fire? You need oxygen, fuel, and ignition source. And then sometimes we act as an accelerant. You know, arson investigators say, oh, there, that fire started here because we found an accelerant there. Made the fire go faster. It says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. On a cold night, Ricky, make sure your fire doesn't go out. Then you get cold. You got to have wood for the thing, okay? The fire goeth out. So where there is no what? Talebearer or gossip, the strife ceaseth. The strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals. What? If you take and you stoke up a fire, what do? You basically shake the coals around and you get more air in there and you break the coals up, and what happens? It gets
hotter,
and then everything else comes and gets hotter. It says, as coals are to burning coals and wood is to fire, so is what? A contentious man to kindle strife. It says, the words of a talebearer are as what? Wounds. Now, words come from what? People using their what? Tongue. And they go down into the what? Innermost parts of the belly.
Places you don't see.
So folks, the tongue is destructive through gossip and slander. The tongue is destructive through lying and exaggeration. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, one of those 10 commandments, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That could be a falsehood, or it could take a piece of truth and adding something to it and making it false. It's either all truth or it's false. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1, thou shalt not raise a what? False report. Now, I need some help from English. When something says thou shalt not, what does that mean?
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Does that mean we could do it a little bit?
Nope.
No, we don't do it at what?
At all.
Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be a what? Unrighteous wicked witness. The unrighteous cannot do the righteousness of God. Can't. Impossible. So there's gossip and slander. There's lying and exaggeration. And it's prevalent. There's been studies that 20 to 30% of all social interaction throughout the day has an element of a lie to it.
Wow.
20 to 30% of just our life, that everybody tells at least one or two lies a day. Wow. That, what does that show? It shows that it's prevalent. And now the issue is that in a book, The Weight of Words, How We Can Measure Out of Words and the Impact of Our Words, the author, Joseph Stahl, says this: our culture has shifted to the ethics of expediency, what's good for me, and self-advancement. So falsehood is not only tolerated, but even what? Encouraged in many cases. Oh, you know, well, you have your resume and you're going to give it out. Well, let's change this word here from few to many, or from to led, or We all have it. You got to make it sound better, right? Been a lot of trouble in our government. People that have what? Puffed up resumes. And folks, we don't need to puff up our resume. In fact, we need to be humble. Our resume comes from Christ.
Amen.
And we need to please Him. And everybody else can see it. So avoid gossip. Avoid slander. Avoid lying. Avoid exaggeration. Truth will align us with God. You know that it says, God is truth, and in Him there is no what? Shadow of turning with Him at all. Jesus Christ was the embodiment of truth. The Holy Spirit leads us into what? All truth. Folks, if we speak truth and we get away from lying and exaggeration, that aligns us to God, and that increases our faith. So by telling the truth, it brings us closer to God instead of further away. Then there's criticism and murmuring. Criticism. It's unjustly passing negative judgment on someone to tear them down instead of building them up. Oh, no one ever does that, huh? No one ever does that. Work in the government.
Yeah.
Watch political ads. Okay? Murmuring. Oh, Moses knew a lot about that, huh? You know, Moses go out and he'd go do something and they didn't get the nation of Israel didn't get the result that they wanted and what they did. What did they do? They murmured. Well, Moses, you brought us out in this desert and there's no water. Moses, you brought us out here and there's no food. Moses, you brought us out here, and now the enemy's going to... Moses, you brought us out of the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh's army after us. Moses, you're not the only one that has the insight to God. We can be like God too. Who gave you the right? Remember Korah? Mm-hmm. Remember that? Their own words condemned them, right? And the earth swallowed them up. And murmuring, criticizing someone behind their back to others with the intent of gathering support to initiate a coup. Moses. But folks, what we're supposed to do, that all comes from a destructive tongue. We need to avoid it. So, secret. If you're doing any of this, stop it. Mm-hmm. Paying attention? If you're involved in any of this, stop it. The tongue is deadly. So we go on from defining to directing to destructive to what? Deadly. In verses 7 through 8, it says, for every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed. You know, you could go down to the circus and see a man stick his head in the lion's mouth. You can see people deal with crocodiles. I wouldn't do that. And I don't suggest that you try that at home either. But the issue is it says that all these beasts and the birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed. And that's what? Been tamed by man or of mankind. But look at the indictment on the very next verse. It says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. What James did here is basically take the same words that Paul wrote to the Romans. In Romans chapter 3, verse 13, talking about sinners, people who fall short. That's the same chapter as God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. They've all gone astray. They've all done wickedness. He goes on in verse 13. He says, their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. You know, it's a pretty good thing that God gave us a tongue that's caged by our teeth. Think about that. And so, it says that the tongue is as deadly as an asp. In Vietnam, they have a viper that's called the two-step viper. You get bit and you take about two steps, you drop dead. And James and Paul are comparing the tongue to that level of poison. It's destructive and can kill reputations and kill relationships and kill families and kill churches and does that. But the worst part about it is it's deadly. And once you say a word, you can't take it back. You can't take it back. So the tongue is deadly. And then last in our passage, the tongue is disloyal. The tongue is disloyal. The passage says this, therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You know, what's this being disloyal? It's saying that you follow somebody when in reality you're backstabbing them. Yeah. The nation of Israel, in the history of the kings, they were really famous for that. It says, doth a fountain setting forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olives berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? The answer to all these questions are what? No. They can't do that. So we're supposed to speak the truth in love. We're supposed to speak the truth. We're supposed to build one another up. And if we say, oh, how I love Jesus, but I hate her. Or let's go have a fellowship, but you don't come. Or I'll come when that other person's not there. Folks, we're not being loyal to God. And we need to understand that. And our tongue is revealing the lack of faith in our heart. Our tongue is revealing the lack of truth in our heart. Our tongue is revealing what our spiritual readiness really is, which is about zero. So the tongue is disloyal. Someone once said, I try to watch the words I speak and keep them soft and sweet, for I do not know from day to day which ones I'll have to eat. And we've all had to eat our own words, haven't we? The taming of the tongue. We see the nature of the tongue. And James says, it's great concern to God, it's great concern to James. Almost every chapter in the book of James has some reference to the tongue in it. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 3 says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So with that thought in mind, let's look at the taming of the tongue. First of all, we need to respect the tongue for what it can do, both positively and negatively. Never forget what your tongue is capable of doing. Every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Then, one person said this, if your mind should ever go blank, don't forget to turn off the sound. Oh, Mine ever goes blank, don't forget to turn off the sound. How many times have we talked to somebody we didn't know that other people were listening? Folks, we need to respect the tongue. We need to measure every word that we say. We need to measure our words. And I'll give you an acronym tonight. We need to think before we speak. You could turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. That's where I want to take some of these verses from. The first one is we need to, before we speak, we need to think if what I'm going to say is truth, because truth aligns us with God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says this, wherefore, putting away what? Lying. You can't tell the truth unless you decide to tell the truth and put away lying. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man. But that doesn't apply to me. What does every mean? Everyone. Speak every man truth with his what? Neighbor. And don't be like Peter. Well, who's my neighbor? I'll choose my neighbors. No, you don't get no choice. For we are what? Members one of another. And this chapter starts out with having unity in the body. So before we say something, we need to think and say, am what I'm going to say true? The next thing, H, is it helpful? We are supposed to build one another up. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what? But that which is good to the use of edifying. That's a big word for building up people, for making people feel good, for encouraging them. That it what? May minister grace unto the hearers. The person it was intended for and everybody else that's listening. That was a gracious thing to say. I would rather hear that than that was a terrible, hateful thing to say. So the first thing we need to do before we speak, we need to think, is it true? Is it true? We need to think, if what I'm going to say, is it going to be helpful to the person that I'm telling? Next, is it inspiring? Does it want to make people do the right thing? Which is kind of like edifying. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. The point here is that if we get mad at somebody, think before you speak. We're supposed to lift somebody up. We can't curse men and bless God. So consider what impact that it will have on some other person. Later on, James is going to write this. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him is what? Sin. If you speak when angry, you'll make the greatest speech you'll ever regret. If you speak when you're angry, you'll make the greatest speech you'll ever regret. You know, a lot of communication is beyond the words. It's also in our nonverbal communication, right? It's how we present ourselves. I could sit up here and do this, and you. And a lot of people think that I'm always angry all the time. I'm not angry. But I got to watch that, because if people perceive that, that's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be received. Is what I'm doing with my words necessary also? I need to think about how my actions match up with my words, because my words are things that my body will back up. Verse 31 says, let all what? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all what? Malice. So is it truthful? Is it helpful? Does it inspire? Does it get the message? Does it make one people want to hear it? Is the way I'm communicating this necessary, or is it going to cause undue frustration? If it's going to cause undue frustration, it can wait. Wait. You don't need to know everything now. It doesn't have to be like Facebook. I'm going to the bathroom now. Fine. I'm eating now. Well, fine. You know. Sometimes we need to think about what we're going to write down. We need to think about how it's going to be received. And then lastly, K, is it kind? And you all know what this verse is. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So something, folks, we need to think before we speak. We need to let Proverbs 13:3 kind of ring in our brain up here. Everybody needs to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to wrath. We need to understand before we speak, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Look at what Christ did. Christ did tell truth. Next week, he's going to start talking about the Pharisees and what they really are. But you know something? In that same passage, he looks over Jerusalem. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou killest the prophets." He says, "How often would I want to bring you under my wing and protect you like a mother hen her chicks?" The last thing is we need to diffuse our tongue. I started out this message with the issue that the tongue is the bucket that draws from the well of the heart. And, you know, if you have a well that has sulfur water in it, you can change the buckets as many times as you want. And every time that you bring it up, what do you get? Sulfur water. What we need to do in order to have pure words is we need to draw out of a deep, pure well. One where there's nothing junky in there. None that's what is dirty in there. You could change all the buckets you want. You could have tongue transplants. You know, you can train your tongue. It's not going to change anything if the water's muddy. What do we need to do? We need to change the well of our heart. We need to change the water that's coming out of our heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the what? Issues of life. And that word for issues is exactly like a fountain that's springing up. It's what comes out. For out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaketh. What we need to do is we need to clean up the well of our heart. Because if the well of our heart's dirty, that's what's going to come out. If the well of our heart is pure, that's what's going to come out. In 1 John 1:9, I close with this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. So do you need a water treatment tonight? You know, do we need to renovate the well, maybe dig deeper into God's grace and find pure water and not take the scum and take the scum off? How's your tongue tonight? Is God speaking to you tonight? We need to control our tongue. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you the time of invitation. Lord, help us, Lord, to confess our faults. And Father, from this point forward, Lord, we would use our tongue for the good of edifying. And Lord, that it ministers grace to the hearers. Help us, Lord, to think before we speak. Help us, Lord, to be guided by you and your Spirit when we speak. We thank you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.